This is episode 326, recorded March 4th, 2016. Packard pokes at pro-life. Fuck you, turkey. I want to thank C. Walker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
I think we should build a wall.
Where should we?
The triple on my head tells me so.
You know, I would be not opposed to putting up a wall between the United States and Canada if we build it high enough to keep the fucking cold air out. We're not, we don't want to suppress anybody. We just want to keep the fucking cold air. You can keep it up there. We like to try to keep it warm down here.
Oh, God.
And joining from the just south of me in the ill of Illinois land is Dana, the talking primate.
Hello, everybody. Sadly, my life has become nothing but a dick joke.
You've been reading my mail, haven't you?
That's M-A-L-E, and yes, I have.
You're going to make me blush, Dana. During the Super Tuesday, which was this week, Google has a tendency to keep track of everything that goes on their servers, what gets hit, and what's the top, what they're searching for. And this last Super Tuesday, as soon as Donald Trump had apparently won several states in the Super Tuesday, the term, how can I move to Canada, skyrocketed. In fact, it had spiked 350% in just 4 hours. I saw the stats on this, and there even when President Obama became president, the stat was not even, it was just barely a little bump about how can I move to Canada because, you know, we have a black president. Even in his reelection, it was still not that huge. But Trump made it fucking spike. I just like, wow, that is fucking hilarious. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, when George W. Bush was reelected, it spiked higher than Obama.
Yeah.
And I remember all of the GOP, you know, saying, oh, we're going to move to Canada, you know, if Obama is elected or reelected. And when you see the spike, it's like huge. I don't know. Why would you leave the country? But all right.
Yeah, there is that joke of saying, like, this president doesn't work out. I'm fucking moving to Canada.
Move back in 4 years? What?
Yeah, I guess. You know, that when Obama became reelected for president, Rush Limbaugh's, he said that if Obama becomes president again, I'm moving out of the country. He's still fucking here. So I think a lot of this is just that people are like, oh, no, if this person is going to be president, they automatically do the rats from a sinking ship type thing. You know, that's
Port
what
Canada.
Yeah, Port of Canada. Canada. Yeah.
Port They're... Canada. Yeah. But we love Canadian bacon.
Yes. Well, I like bacon. I've tried Canadian bacon.
The carnivores of us love.
Yeah, I've had Canadian bacon. I'm not quite fond of the Canadian bacon. I just like regular bacon. Just cut up a hog and give me some just regular bacon. I'll take that.
And hockey.
Dana, your thoughts
Okay, so my first question is, did How I Moved to Canada beat searches for BBW anal?
I would think so.
I highly doubt that. at least not from my neck of the woods.
Uh-huh.
at least not from my IP address. So apparently now there's even a new website called How Do I Move to ISIS If Trump Wins?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez.
But
really?
No, of course not. It's my joke.
Trump becomes president. How can I join ISIS? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, this has been a weird.
Well, some would argue that his fans already have kind of done that, at least ideologically.
Yes,
this won't actually work. It would be really hard to actually move to Canada because on day one of the Trump presidency, construction starts on that wall between the United States and Canada.
Yeah, no shit.
So unless you can scale a 20-foot high wall with a 10-foot trench dig, I think you're probably going to be SOL. And
yeah,
that's all I have to say about that.
I looked this up. I did look this up myself a number of years ago, though, because someone told me that they were going to move to Canada when they got older or whatever. I remember the conversation was a number of years ago. Or at some point, they said, yeah, you better make sure you have about $25,000 to start off with, because they won't let you emigrate to their country unless you have some coin in the bank to know that way when you get up there, you're not going to sit there on their public dole or whatever and wait for, you know, funding to try to get you through. You have to have a job set up and you have to have cash in place. So
yeah, but you could just declare refugee status.
I wonder if we could do that. I'm wondering now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Hey, brother, can you spare a Canadian dime?
Well,
our money's actually worth more than theirs at this point, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Theirs is like 2 or 3 cents cheaper than ours. That's so you give someone a Canadian nickel and then they go, oh my God, oh, I've made 3 cents. So. And
we
I'm not even kidding on that.
We offend across borders, everybody.
What?
Awesome. we offend across borders.
We're equal opportunity offender on this show.
Yeah,
yeah. Because that's what we're all about.
Sorry. All right.
Yes. Yeah, we offend them and they'd still apologize to us. So.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Back in 2011, 2012, they had a nuclear meltdown in Fukushima. That's over in Japan. And the nuclear reactor apparently, you know, had melted down. And there was a lot of, because of a tsunami that had hit. And there was a lot of problems over there. And people were, you know, had to be checked out if they're inside of a radiation area or whatever. It turns out this was just simple negligence. The executives out there, when they were having this nuclear meltdown, they did not read the manual on what was going on. They did not know how to tell the plant is melting down. Apparently, there is a manual on this. It says, if this is happening, your plant is melting down. And apparently, they didn't read this. They didn't know. According to NHAK, the accused have done this, they couldn't comment on any indictments. It said, we will continue to do our utmost sincerely address this issue of compensation decommission of the plant. At the same time, we'll express our unflagging resolve to ensure the strengthening the safety measures of our nuclear power plant. And there was apparently several reports that pointed to lack of safety culture, weak risk management at the utility, including underestimating tsunami threats leading up to the March 12, 2011 crisis. Connie, your thoughts?
Okay, it says it right in the name of the place. Fuck you, Shima. You know, Godzilla is crying.
I never saw that before.
You know, it just stuns me how and I'm not going to just say men, because I get instruction manuals for appliances that I buy, and I'm like, yeah, it's a waffle iron. What do I need to know? I don't read them. But then again, a waffle iron never caused a huge meltdown. But it's just really shocking to me that they didn't even understand what was going on.
Yeah.
To that level, that's just so wrong. And that they hit it.
Yeah.
Wow. God. this is so frustrating, because and especially since it's built, the plant was not that far from the ocean.
No.
And they get tsunamis. They get, you know, high weather, high wind and storm warnings all the time on that coast. This is a huge case of negligence. I really hope that the people at the top of this get to, you know, stand for what they've done, because it shouldn't be allowed to last. It shouldn't be allowed to go unpunished.
Right. And I found the original article. I apologize for some lack of a topic on this. It said here, the operator of the Fukushima's power plant apologized for not announcing the nuclear reactors were in meltdown for months after a
yes.
huge earthquake and the tsunami devastated the facility 5 years ago. They denied that for 2 months after the disaster that a meltdown had taken place. It said the officials didn't know the company's manual contained a section for determining a meltdown is underway. So basically, they did not read the manual. They just did not simply read the manual. They said after reviewing the company manual, they realized that it was a reactor core that was more than 5% damaged, and the incident should have been immediately declared as a meltdown. There's the old joke. Women read the manual, guys just kind of like, yeah, sure, whatever, and throw it to the side. And then it's like, how do we build this thing?
God.
If we only had a manual or something. Dana, your thoughts?
More importantly, is the tuna safe to eat yet?
I got a can of tuna, and it's still glowing in the dark in my cupboard. I use it as a nightlight now. So,
yeah, I got a couple things on this. First of all, it's amazing to see any group of corrupt business owners actually held legally accountable for crimes against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So kudos to Japan, the people that are actually holding their feet to the fire. Because if this happened in America, here's how this would have played out. First, they would have called it Tsunami Gate, and there would have been a cash settlement hidden pretty much from the view. They'd have probably overinflated it, eaten up by lawyers' fees, and the folks affected by the meltdown would all receive about $128 and a letter explaining on how to boil water.
Yeah.
So
kudos. Yes.
Yeah, kudos to the people who are holding these negligent, corrupt business owners accountable.
Yeah.
So that's not funny. But,
no, it's not. But no. Kudos.
No,
to
but
you,
seriously,
Dana.
The tuna. I mean, I really need to know.
Well, you're sashimi.
Torvin in the chat room said, was it an IKEA brand nuclear reactor?
No, because it would have been put together properly.
They would have had real instructions.
Lost the hex key, damn it.
Yeah, they lost the hex key.
Building a better future, science and technology.
You move somewhere and you kind of get used to it. You know, you're doing certain things, you're doing new experiences. Now imagine if the place you've moved to for the next year is in outer space, and Scott Kelly was one of those people who moved to outer space, quite literally. He was up in the ISS, that's the International Space Station, that's been flying around. I've seen it a number of times. I'd go outside, at certain times of the day, I could watch it goes whizzing by. It's kind of funny to watch it, to be so close to it and so far away at the same time, where I could actually see the thing at night. It's kind of neat. But while he was there, he was doing a lot of experiments and things like that. And, you know, just they're trying to find out what the long-term effects of their health, the health of those people on there, of long-term space exploration. Now, granted, they didn't go way out like a 5-year voyage like on Star Trek or anything like that, but they were still being literally bombarded by cosmic radiation because they're outside of the atmosphere here. But one of the interesting things is that when he was in outer space, he actually grew 2 inches on his body. He's actually now taller than his brother. One of the things I did find out about what would happen to you if you were in space is that because of that cosmic radiation, it does damage your DNA. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, yeah, because a year in space, according to this article, can lead to brittle bones and weak muscles and things like that. So that would age you.
Yeah.
So you can be, you know, taller than your brother, but he could snap you like a twig.
I don't know.
I'm very curious what they're going to find out. But again, Kelly was exercising, making a point of exercising and doing what he could to stay physically fit.
Yep.
In space. He's not the astronaut who has been out the longest in space. That goes to other Russian cosmonauts because, I don't know, it's a whole, you know, bigger penis race out there. But it's exciting. And actually, I saw a little blurb today that I think it was on the NBC morning show. Evidently, young people researching about being astronauts has increased, quite, not astronomically, but exponentially, just because of this Scott Kelly and mm-hmm. all of the tweets and all the pictures he shared and all in videos that he's put on social media.
Yeah.
There's an increased interest in science in general, which is awesome.
You know, I found it was interesting that I'm looking at the article here that because if you're spent a significant amount of time in space, that your heart actually gets smaller because it doesn't have to work as hard. Because when you're on Earth, you know, gravity is everything's pulling everything down. So your heart has to work really hard to pull all that blood back up out of like your feet. But and when you're in outer space, there's no up or down. It's equally distributed. So you'd have like a puffy face and legs because, you know, the muscles and the blood and everything, just it's all over the place. It's like, okay, we really have nothing to keep us in place anymore. It's just like we're free floating, if it were.
So what would we look like if we'd spent generations in space?
Probably have, if we're under the same conditions that with the technology that we have today, which is basically just the ability just to get out there. Right. I would say that if we were to spend, like, say, do it like the 5-year mission, like a Star Trek type thing, and they were exploring different planets or whatever with no gravity whatsoever, then I would say they'd probably get somewhere, and then their heart would probably just collapse because their heart wouldn't be able to handle the movements or anything like that because of the gravity.
But on most imagined, I don't want to cut off Dana or anything, but on most imagined outgoings into space, we've recreated Earth's gravity within a space station. We're able to walk around like, oh, I don't know, Alien or Star Trek.
Yeah, in those situations, yeah, but because it's a TV show that we've got, and those things they've got gravity. But I mean,
but that's real, damn it! I want it to be real. I'll yield the floor though.
Okay, Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, speaking of aliens in space, no one can hear you grow. Hey, for the record, if a different body part grew 2 inches after a year in space, I'd be all in.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, when I first clicked on this story and read about getting a puffy face and legs with a smaller heart and weak muscles, I thought we were talking about Justice Antonin Scalia.
Oh no.
But on a serious note, how pretty effing cool is this? I mean, just the fact that we can even go to space is amazing. So
yeah,
I can make fun of it all I want, but jealous.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I couldn't do it. I read about the requirements to get into space, and I wouldn't make the cut. I'd be like, oh, I can't do this. No.
That's right. I already have a puffy face and legs.
Yeah.
I would look like Jabba the Hutt after a year.
Yeah, I would probably look even worse.
You'd be like, oh, yeah, it's just like space.
Yeah. People would be saying to me, Packard, you you just come from outer space? You're all puffy. It's like, no, I ate a hot dog.
Yeah, they'd ask me that question. I'd be like, oh. And mutter something about having Chewbacca. I don't know.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us,
you kick ass.
You know, we enjoy some moniker of ability to say what we want to here in the United States. If you don't believe in God, you can say, hey, I don't believe in God. And the police are not going to bust down your door and take you away to jail. Although I'm sure there's a few Christians out there. Not all of them. I'm not saying it's all. I'm saying there's a few out there that would probably say, yeah, I wish we could just take you away for saying you don't believe in God or God is not real. Things
or
like
kill
that.
You.
Or kill you, exactly. Mm-hmm. Over in Russia, there's a man, he faces up to a year in prison just for denying the existence of God. So you Christians out there who say, well, you atheists aren't being persecuted, we're the ones being persecuted. No, you're the persecutors. You religious people, you are the persecutors. Basically, he just said that there is no God during an argument on social media. Victor, V-I-K-T-O-R, I suppose it's pronounced Victor, Krasnov wrote, the Bible is a collection of Jewish fairy tales. During the discussion on European social networking sites, VK.com, I'm never visiting VK.com, he visited the site back in 2014. A lawyer and human rights activist, Pavel Chikov, posted on his Facebook page.
Sorry.
Pavlov.
The nuclear vessels.
Nuclear vessels.
Speed captain.
You know, he says that it says here those offending posts have been deleted, and he's on trial in his native city of Stavropol, in southern Russia, according to the local magistrate's website. Charges were filed in the fall of 2015, and the trial began this last Monday, according to his lawyer. The Russian Investigation Committee, which is basically the equivalency of the fucking FBI, charged Krasnov with offending believers' feelings. You hurt my feelings. You're going to jail because you offended my beliefs.
Not just beliefs, feelings.
Yeah, and
how
his feelings.
How do you quantify that?
Yeah, I don't know how they quantify that. It's really fucking retarded. He was criminalized in Russia after a notorious performance by the punk band Pussy Riot. I've been wanting to say that for a while now. in Moscow's Cathedral of Christ the Savior back in February of 2012. Two band members there were jailed in 2012 for performing an anti-Vladimir Putin song at the cathedral. The thing is here, if someone doesn't believe in God and someone says it, just because you have your feelings hurt doesn't mean shit. If you say there is a God and you hurt my feelings. Does that mean I could have you thrown in jail too? I saw this meme several months ago. It fits this perfectly, that if we say that there is no God, Christians get offended. But if they say that there is a God, then we are not allowed to be offended by that. That it really, there's like a super double standard there. Kind of your thoughts.
I actually typed in VK.com, and it looks like Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, but it wanted me to sign up, and I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not signing up for this. But yeah, it looked like a Facebook page. Again, it's a social media page. And God, the other thing I come back to is this whole idea that offending believers' feelings, and we have such an explosion of everything on social media, everything, and people who are being prejudiced against for a lot of things wind up getting traction. I don't know. They wind up having a voice and a reason to be, oh, I'm offended by this or I'm offended by that. And I don't know. And we have beliefs that are being offended. And what gets me is when we talk about atheism, this is a lack of belief. It's not even the same thing. It's both ends playing against the middle. And what's mostly ironic to me is that as a Christian, I remember growing up and hearing that Russia was basically an atheist country, and they prosecuted belief. They put, believers in prison, or they sent them to Siberia or something like that. And it was hard to smuggle Bibles into Russia, blah, 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 communist nation, the communist threat.
I remember that.
And now it's all flipped on its head, and it's like, what? You're the psychotic girlfriend, Russia. I don't know. So I just don't know how to put a finger on what's happening over there right now, because it's like the flip. It is very much the flip of what was happening when I was growing up. So
yeah, me too. I remember hearing about that too. That when I was involved in religion, like, all those poor Russian people, they're not allowed to pray, and atheism is running rampant, and they have like two churches in the whole country,
smuggling Bibles.
Yeah, we have to smuggle the Bible into them,
right?
Yeah, we have to smuggle Bible into them because they're just so oppressed, which is so far from the truth. So far from the truth. Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, now we actually force feed Bibles to Africans. Mm-hmm. So.
Pretty much.
Okay, I digress. Okay, so first of all, I'm really worried that people in Russia are getting indicted over spelling errors. I thought his post was supposed to be, there is no dog.
Case closed. It was a typo, everybody. Sorry. I didn't have a dog at the time. I meant to say there is no dog. Not there is no God. I apologize. The spelling typo, my dyslexia kicked in.
So he writes, the Bible is a collection of Jewish fairy tales, to which I say a resounding da. So he was charged with offending believers' feelings. I would have been in jail when I stepped off the plane after a comment about those silly hats. Yeah. And on that topic, how do you measure a level of offensiveness? Like, with a feelometer?
Right.
Yes.
He's like, feeling? Okay, how offensive is this? Well, let's put it on the scale and find out. And finally, you know what they always say? In Soviet Russia, atheism doesn't believe in you. Anyway,
yes,
now I'm out of
yes.
jokes. It's actually, that's really insane. I mean, you would expect this. Well, okay, maybe I'm in my own little bubble. I wouldn't expect it anywhere, but you would expect this probably more in the more Muslim areas, rather than like this Orthodox Christianity version of whatever it is they have. I mean, there are some Muslims in Russia. They're very, very quiet, but they're there. I guess the world is just a strange place.
It is very much so.
Religion is running rampant. Religion is just running rampant everywhere.
Yeah, like a virus.
Extremist. Yeah. It's like, you know, fundamental everything.
I can chalk this up to one thing that I can see. I mean, in my opinion, this is what religion looks like when it's dying. It's starting to, like, it's like grasping at everything around it. It's going to drag everybody else with it down to its level so it can just, like, it can try to kill you as it's dying off.
I guess that my only real fear about religion dying is how many people think that religion is the only thing keeping them morally straight.
That's a good question. I've come across people that say like that. They say, well, if it weren't for the Bible, I'd be out raping and murdering and doing all kinds of nasty things. And I'm like, you keep believing then, please. You know.
Well, if religion isn't replaced with at least some sense of skepticism and rationality, then people just think that would people actually think that there's no moral absolutes? And I don't know. And but with Russia, I worry about how they flipped and flopped, and they've basically done the exact opposite of what we saw. And from this area of the world, but it's calling it Russia is probably a blanket term. But that worries me more than just about anything.
Yeah, I understand that. I get that completely. Okay.
What if there's a really bad, crummy guy who's going to jail, but I know he's innocent?
Well, Bart, your Uncle Arthur used to have a saying. Shoot them all and let God sort them out. Unfortunately, one day he put his theory into practice. It took 75 federal marshals to bring him down. Now let's never speak of him again.
You know, the pro-life people out there are really kind of hilarious. Because they hold this stance that all life is precious. Unless you're an abortion doctor, in which case then your life is forfeit. There have been many instances where there have been people who have been in the part of the pro-life movement have gone out and assassinated. I'm not just going to say they were murdered. They were literally assassinated by these pro-lifers who think that they are doing a good thing by killing somebody else because they think they're taking another human life. Now, women's rights in our Constitution backs it that women have a right to an abortion. Now, a lot of right-wing Republicans have tried to put in trap laws in different states so they can try to keep this from happening. Now, this particular pro-lifer, Michael John Harris, age 33, pleaded guilty to 2 counts of making telephone threats to 2 clinics that provided reproductive health services in a state that's just next to me, Minnesota. According to the Department of Justice's release, he had made several calls where he admitted threatened to kill the person on the other end by using his bare hands, and then he said he was going to cut the person's head off with a bandsaw. And to the second clinic he called, he said he would kill the person on the other end of the call and everybody else there who worked there, and he was going to travel to the clinic and shoot everybody present. What a wonderful guy. My heart is just throbbing. I'm like, I've got to know who this is. Because he is such a fucking piece of shit. Connie, your thoughts?
He loves life.
Yeah, apparently he does.
Evidently he loves life. And it's like, yeah, he loves life as long as he can't see it. He can't hear it. He doesn't have to take care of it. And blah. That's what fucking kills me about the entire Christian pro-life movement.
Yeah.
It's about shaming about having sex. It's about just making sure that babies are born and they just don't fucking care. They don't care. And if the baby has to be taken care of by society, well then screw that. You know, put your baby up for adoption so somebody rich and white and Christian can take care of your baby.
Yeah.
And why is this even, if we put the words Allahu Akbar or whatever it is that Muslims say.
Yeah. Allah Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. When
Admiral Akbar.
Admiral Akbar.
He talks about cutting somebody's head off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be alerted.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, FBI. Whatever.
Right.
So,
Now, yeah. earlier this year, what that one crazy guy said that they're cutting off the babies, they're killing the babies, and he's that I forget the guy's name, but he had shut up the abortion clinic because Christina just a couple days earlier, Christina Fiorentina, who was running for president, she's not anymore, she dropped out thankfully. Said that, you know, she went on several talk shows and saying, yeah, they're killing babies, and she showed some video which was totally debunked as being total propaganda and total lies. And then these people, while they're spouting their anti-abortion rhetoric, these pro-lifers have been attacking the Planned Parenthood buildings and the people who work there. So the fact is that these people are fucking insane. It's just a fact. These people are fucking insane. If they would learn to fucking keep their nose out of everybody else's business, I think we'd be of a hell of a lot better off. Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, we should really start calling these folks kind of pro-life.
I just call them pro-birth. They're not pro-life.
Kinda.
Yeah, they're kind of pro-life.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody thought of the logistics of cutting off someone's head with a bandsaw.
Yeah.
First of all, getting a person to bend in the middle to keep their head still while trying to get their neck under a 3-inch like clearance.
Yeah.
It seems like an awful lot of work. Of course, this was after he threatened murder with his bare hands.
Yeah.
And next, I think he threatened to shove a living snake up their ass, to which the crowd replied, no, but very creative. That's the only time you'll ever hear a History of the World Part 1 joke. I'm reminded of George Carlin here. He said, have you ever noticed that most of the folks who are against abortion are people you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place?
Exactly. That's a great quote.
Yeah, so, I don't really have much more to say on that. These people are lunatics. They're, they're on the wrong side of history.
Yes.
Thankfully, their numbers are... dwindling to an extent.
I would hope they are, but right now they mobilize. Yeah,
and some of them are very dangerous. Some of them still understand peaceful protest, but some of them are so overcome by their own emotion that they think they can like legitimately take the law into their own hands and make threats and carry out some of those threats too.
Yeah,
so.
I think
fuck them. They're clowns.
Yeah, exactly. Don't. I think in their minds, they think, well, and especially with this guy, he was thinking that, well, if I make a threat, it'll scare them and they'll leave and then nobody will get any services that day. And I'll think of all the babies I've saved for that day. I think this is the kind of mentality that's rolling through his head.
Unless it's the young girl who her parents will kick her out and she has no quarter and she's going to kill herself. So
yeah. They don't care about them.
Awesome people.
Yeah, I've heard this statement where they were asked, well, let's say if a woman goes to get an abortion or whatever, and for something reason there's a complication, the woman dies for whatever reason, and they think, yeah, good, I'm glad she died because she was trying to take her baby's life. It's like, fuck you, asshole, fuck you in the ass.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, it is funny because these people are fucking hilarious. I mean, and the fact is that they're so fucking divorced from reality that they think that that a fetus is a baby. If it can't live outside the womb, it is not a life. It is not. It does not have rights. Or anything else. Once it's born, that's when the rights start, not before.
Yep.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Have you ever been in love? I mean, you just find somebody and you're just enamored with them completely. Or sometimes you find a thing that you're like, oh, I've got to have this thing. Well, it doesn't just happen to people. There's a turkey out in New Jersey. I'm not talking about Chris Christie. that laid claim to a parked Honda Civic out there in Mount Laurel. A New Jersey woman said a love-struck turkey took a liking to her son's brand-new Civic Honda and wouldn't let anyone else near the vehicle. Betty Ann DiGiacomo, I'm probably slaughtering the name. I apologize. She said she discovered this wild turkey, and I don't mean the bottled kind, meandering outside her Mount Laurel home about 7:30 a.m. on Friday. She soon discovered the bird seemed to be enamored with her son's brand-new Honda Civic that he had bought previously a couple months ago. And she says, I was laughing because it looked like he was looking it over to see if it was a good car, like he was shopping for a car. I named him Patrick. Patrick the love-struck turkey. Experts have said that turkeys display this known as what's called crazy Jake behavior. In other words, he was fucking horny. Which is named for adolescent male turkeys or Jakes or, you know, teenagers. The experts said turkeys in the mating season mindset will often become attracted to shiny objects and will sometimes show an interest in even in their own reflections. Patrick the turkey wouldn't let anyone else even approach the car. She banged on a couple of pots and pans when he came towards me, and be honest, I got a little scared and ran into the house. Way to show that turkey! I'm an evolved human. I can work a computer, but here comes a bird that goes gobble gobble. Freak out. It's funny. Humans are really funny like this. The fact is that we think we're so much better than every other animal out there because we can reason, but when those animals that come at us, we fucking freak out and run the other way. I mean, yeah, we might get hurt, maybe, but overall, you're a fucking human. You can fucking win. That's why we're at the top of the food chain. Connie, your thoughts?
He was in love with his own goddamn reflection. It's Trump. This is Trump. Yeah, she should have just taken one of those pots and pans and cold cocked that turkey in the head, I guess.
Yeah, that probably would have been a better way to do it. Just boom.
Shoot. It was an aggressive move she was making. I don't know. Why is she even... I don't know. Are these her turkeys or are they wild turkeys?
It was a wild turkey. And again, it wasn't the kind that comes from the bottle.
Yeah.
So
he was in love with his own reflection. Again, I think say that this is a Trump turkey.
Yeah. It's a Trump turkey. Of course, Trump is a turkey, but that's, you know, other.
Explains why he's in love with a Honda Civic, you know, because he says that he doesn't want immigration. But he actually pays for jobs off the United States.
Yeah, that's true. Dana, your thoughts?
Well, I haven't seen turkeys and Hondas in the same sentence since the Payola scandal in 1997. I had to reach out to the internet for that one. I knew there was some kind of like scandal with Hondas, but I like legit I had to research it, so it's only funny because of Google. Let's see, a turkey guarding a car is almost as deterring as a used car salesman. Perhaps the turkey was a used car salesman
in a previous life. Yeah, I sold that car. Wow, it's so much taller than I am right now.
Yeah. And finally, no one ever thinks about the real victim here, who is the car. The car now has PTSD, pervy turkey stress disorder.
I did not give consent.
That car did not consent.
That's right. But, and we also learned something. Turkeys are narcissists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's yes.
Just, yeah. They're in love with their own reflection, like Aphrodite.
Oh, wait. Or
Donald
Aphrodite.
Trump, actually.
Aphrodite, what was that? Narcissus.
Narcissa.
Narcissa, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, right. Exactly.
I got it. I saved it.
Woohoo!
You can edit that, right?
Yeah.
He's like, wow, turkeys are really narcissists. Like, Narcissa.
Aphrodite.
Aphrodite.
That's right. We fix in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
That's all right.
That was still awesome.
I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise. Our two weapons are fear and surprise.
A district down in Illinois, apparently the school down there did a mock slave auction where they were trying to teach the kids about how the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans, how they treated their individuals. Now, when I read this story, I was a little bit on both sides of the fence on this. I was like, okay, this is a horrible thing. But on the other hand, I was like thinking, okay, the fact is that they're teaching this is a good thing, because whitewashing history doesn't make history go away. If something bad happens, if you deny it happening, then you're just bound to repeat that same thing.
Republicans.
The students held a mock slave auction as part of a convention study of ancient Greece and Rome. The Barrington School District apologized after the school students attended the Illinois Junior Classic League convention at the Westin Hotel in Ithaca, featuring the students that were being in chains. I'm sure these weren't real chains, or like probably like paper or something. They'd go, they'd be done. You know, it's not like they actually brought people out in chains and actually sold them. I remember something like this going on when I was younger, that they would put up the school council members up for auction, so they would be your slave for the day. And I really didn't think too much about it when I was younger. But when you get older and you find out about this stuff, like how horrible slavery actually was, that's really kind of a bad thing. But I think they made their point to show how horrible slavery was, and the fact that selling somebody into slavery and how horrible that is. But the fact is, ignoring how horrible owning another human being is not a bad thing to teach this. Kind of your thoughts?
Just that I actually was watching just a little bit of the video, and the problem, I think, stems from the fact that the slave being auctioned is, he's kind of flexing like he's, you know, showing off. And it would have been more effective if they'd actually presented it like in ancient Greece, when people were being actually auctioned off as slaves. I think that the kids who are doing it here, they just don't fully understand what they're doing. They make light of it.
Yeah.
That's what I really have to say about how they did this. And because this is a historical thing. I mean, blacks weren't the only people who were obviously, you know, auctioned as slaves. They just don't fully understand what they're doing.
Right.
That's all I want to say out of the gate.
Okay. Dana, your thoughts?
That high school is in the same district I went to.
Oh, really?
Side note. That being said, when was the last time you saw someone offended by ancient Greece's customs?
I know, right?
Like, oh, you know, I'm so offended. Socrates just thought way too damn much. What I really want to know is, how much did they get for him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
What was the? I don't know what the unit of what the monetary units were in ancient Greece. The drachma, maybe?
I
don't know.
Exchange?
But
yeah.
But oh, by the way, the high school is Barrington High. That's in a really ritzy neighborhood.
Really.
All of the rich kids went to Barrington High. If their parents didn't send them to private school, that is a really expensive. Oh, Walter Payton lived in Barrington, in South Barrington. So that high school's right in that district. So there's lot of money. So I think these kids might not be as all stupid as you think. Mm-hmm. If you know the area.
Oh, okay.
Oh wait, hold on a second. White kids. sorry. Yeah, and then there's a lady. Did anybody watch the video that's attached to this to this file? Where
with the black lady?
yeah, there's, yes, there is a black lady. And the lady on the video is bitching about, like, literally she says white privilege. I'm like, no, it's more like Mediterranean privilege, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But no, these kids, okay, man, let them go. They're kids. They don't know. Fucking high school students.
Right.
They don't know dick about anything.
No, they don't.
I'm glad that they at least were looking into this. You know, I'm glad that they were learning about this. That's the part I'm glad about.
Yeah.
I think the way that they presented it probably was probably in poor taste, though.
Well, look, we're not talking about like the slave trade in the 1800s mm-hmm. in the United
no,
States
no.
of America.
True.
We're talking about
no,
the
not.
Slave trade in ancient Greece.
Yes.
That's like well over 2000 years ago when like we didn't know any better. It was not even contested. You know, you had the elites and then you had the common folk, and then you had the slaves. That's how it was. No, there was no progressive movement to end slavery in ancient Greece.
Right.
No, so, it was very much about class. It was very much about domination. It's very much about going out and taking over different areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's ancient Greece, so get over yourself. That's, they don't really have a point. I mean, it's like, you know what? I can't even think of an analogy right now, but just get over yourself. It happened over 2000 years ago. The kids were just trying to like be accurate. They weren't trying to compare it to the African American slave trade, not even to like Christopher Columbus or any of that nonsense. It happened well over 2,000 years ago. It's a historical fact.
Yeah.
Stop trying to sugarcoat everything to be politically correct. You know, now, if they had black students up there being chained by white students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You might have a little bit of a response, but in that case, that's also history. So, it happened. Deal with it.
Right.
You know, you've made the right decisions now, obviously. Well, some would say. But, you know, we're on the right path. But don't cover up, don't try to cover up your shitty past because because it's offensive today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. Don't color the past with the present at all or the recent past. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm off my soapbox. Thank you.
Okay.
No, you're not.
No. Our funny tweet tonight comes from MJK Speaks. That's MJK Speaks. He says, accidentally pressed 2 for Spanish and Donald Trump's security team came out of nowhere to deport me. You ever get that on the phone? It's like you get the automated thing. You're like trying to go through it and you accidentally hit the because you're not paying attention or you're like, oh, I'm like, OK, I've got the kids running around and you press the wrong button and all of a sudden you're in a different language. Like, shit, I got to go through that whole prompting system again because I pressed the wrong button and I got to call back. It's a big pain in the ass. And yeah, then of course, with Donald Trump, he's like, having people thrown out of his conventions because of the fact is saying, well, we don't like you, Trump. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. So, yeah.
Get that tribble off your head and we might listen to you.
Right. Kind of your thoughts.
Oh, God. I love this. Actually, this is like, I hate Siri. The autocorrect thing. It pisses me off. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Dana, your thoughts?
At first, I didn't get it. No, seriously, I had to read it like 3 times. I don't get it. There's so many. I mean, there's just so many Mexican jokes out there. I just that one kind of went over my head for a second, but this one didn't. where the guy's asking the guy who's trying to cross the border, are you a citizen of the U.S.? Yes. What's your name? Yes. Get in the car, sir. Anyway, I guess it's funny.
Yeah. Alrighty.
A little weak.
Yeah. Okay, well, before we get out of here, just want to let everybody know that we are starting a second podcast, and we've actually got some the audio stuff that we're doing in the can, as it were, and it will be posted here next week or a couple weeks from now. And so if you're not subscribed to the show on iTunes or Spreaker or Stitcher, rather, then you're probably going to miss it. But go to the feed at Packard Pokesat on iTunes, and the next show, the next podcast, is going to be being fed through this one for two or three episodes, and then it's going to move to its own feed after that. So if you want to catch the new podcast, you're going to have to do that for at least for a little while there. So you'll have a whole new show to listen to, and it's not anything like this. It's actually turning out to be a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be, in a weird, creepy way. Awesome. Connie and I are both on this, and would you agree? It's funny in a creepy way.
Creepy, yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So watch for that in the feed. So be sure that you're subscribed to us on iTunes. And then you'll at least hear a couple episodes before it's moved to its newest feed. So, all right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week with our regular short show. Until then, this has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.